Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Deadly trench collapses, they're not uncommon on the local news. Here's how KSAT covered one in recent years.
Overnight, we learned the name of a worker killed after a trench collapse here in San Antonio. He has been identified as 36-year-old David Williams. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration is launching an investigation to find out more about how he died. The San Antonio Fire Department says Williams was working on a drainage project yesterday in the 1500 block of Classic Drive. That's near Highway 151 when he became trapped in a trench. It collapsed around him and buried him up to his neck. Firefighters were called out to the scene when they arrived, the man was already dead.
Initial reports was he is trapped at least to his neck, but with that amount of weight, you're not able to breathe, so you're going to basically asphyxiate.
Co-workers tried in vain to jump in and save him. They were ordered out of the trench area by the San Antonio Fire Department. A chaplain was made available to them and to the victim's family.
Well, why do these trench collapses happen, and they happen with such frequency when there are easy ways to secure the walls of those trenches? Well, Texas Public Radio, along with NPR and 1A, investigated to find out. Josh Peck joins us now. He's in the studio. He was part of the team that looked into these deadly trench collapses. And Josh, welcome back to The Source.
Thanks for having me again.
So what did you find? Like, how frequently do deadly trench collapses happen?
So nationwide,
okay, can you, the other mic is probably better for you.
Yeah, so nationwide, OSHA has cited companies for over 250 trench deaths in the past decade. In Texas, there have been about 20 collapses that have killed 21 workers. And so these are happening quite frequently around the country. They're also at this, you know, for public employees, those are recorded differently, but it's, you know, more than 250 deaths since 2013 as a result of trench collapses.
Our phone lines are open. If you have worked in a trench, if you've had to deal with these circumstances, if you felt that you were put at risk or someone in your family was, give us a call, 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. Why are these unsafe conditions allowed to continue? So, Josh, we heard in that report from KSAT that this happened and OSHA is going to investigate. What does that mean? I mean, does OSHA really do much?
So when one of these deaths happens, OSHA will send investigators to the site. There are different OSHA offices around the country. In Texas, I think we have about 7 different field offices around the state. And they'll send people to go and see, you know, why is it that this happened? And with a trench collapse, there can be, you know, a couple of citations or a dozen. But the ones that stay the same throughout all these collapses are that there was not a proper protective system in place. There are several ways that you can protect a trench. The main one is a trench box, you know, has these metal walls that go taller than the trench so that soil can't fall onto the workers. And in almost all of these cases, I think in all of them actually, that wasn't present.
How hard is it or expensive? I mean, is it really prohibitive to say, I can't use a trench box on my work site because they're so expensive or so hard to operate? It seems like common sense. I mean, here we are downtown and we drive in, we see all this road construction going on and they're digging all the time. And I see, oh, they have those walls. It's like a steel wall and like a big corkscrew kind of holding it. It says, well, okay, that looks pretty cool that they're doing that for their workers, but that's not required.
Yeah, and that's one of those hydraulic systems. It's a little bit different from trench box, but it's also used. And they are required. You know, if you have a trench that's deeper than 5 feet, federal law requires that you have some type of protective system for workers. And it's often this hydraulic system, like you just described, or a trench box. And in terms of your question about the cost, they really aren't costly. I spoke to one worker who works in sales at one of these companies that rents out trench boxes. He says for a couple of days, it could be a couple hundred dollars, maybe for some weeks or months, a few thousand dollars to rent. And one of the things he pointed out was that for these construction jobs, you know, that's one of the smallest costs you're going to have. You know, these people are renting out these huge trucks and all this other equipment. And what it really comes down to is that, and, you know, workers' families, victims' families have told us this, is that these victims, they said that, you know, the company just didn't want to deal with the cost or the time, because it takes time to put these into these trenches. And for these construction companies, time is money.
But you said they're required.
They are required. They're required, and they don't do it.
So, I mean, OSHA needs to show up before there is a fatal accident. Is there a way to say, hey, I'm working on this site, and this is a deep trench, and the contractor is not putting this in, and I want it?
Yeah, you know, if workers were to report unsafe conditions to OSHA, they would send someone out. I think one of the problems, though, is that, for one thing, a lot of workers are fearful of, you know, rocking the boat too much, of losing their job. You know, sometimes they think, well, maybe I can just do it this one time. And the other problem is that OSHA just doesn't have enough inspectors for all the workplaces in the country. You know, there are like 7 million workplaces, and only there are fewer than 1,000 OSHA investigators. So it would take them decades to try to inspect all of these sites. And so, you know, oftentimes they don't get to these places ahead of time.
In your investigation with NPR and 1A on this, y'all were talking with relatives of victims who died in these accidents. What were they telling you?
So, you know, a lot of these cases, these family members had been told by, in cases like Jack Martin, who was 41-year-old, who was killed, or Nathan Friday, who was 22, you know, they had told their parents, hey, you know, I've been asking for this thing and it's not happening. And, you know, in one of these cases, Nathan Friday, the 22-year-old who was killed in Lockhart, Texas in a trench collapse, you know, his mother said that she felt that OSHA wasn't doing enough, and that, you know, they were not doing their jobs right. They didn't follow up with the family enough, and she was really frustrated with how OSHA went.
And OSHA is the only one that can bring them down like that, you know. So I think OSHA needs to do more than what they're doing, and I think in times like this, they're just all getting too lazy and sitting behind their desks and doing nothing.
And obviously, you know, OSHA doesn't share this view. You know, OSHA has told us and told NPR that, you know, they're doing everything they can to protect workers and to, you know, when these deaths do occur, to cite these companies. But the reality is that, you know, OSHA's tools are actually fairly limited. Their fines are set by Congress, haven't been raised in quite some time. And their criminal penalties that they can impose are really small, that they can do on their own. And often the federal government is not going to go after these cases because they're too small. So they're really limited in what they can actually do to, you know, go after these companies after a death like this.
Well, let's talk about the criminal penalties. How would you get a local district attorney involved in saying, I need you to prosecute? Would it be a local district attorney that would get involved?
It would be, yeah. In the case where OSHA doesn't want to go for the penalties themselves, it can refer for some cases that it deems willful violations. So many of these cases are willful, where a company should know better or does know better and still violates the labor law, the labor rule, where they can go to a local DA and say, hey, we want to formally refer this case to you. Please look into this. And then that DA will make a decision whether or not to prosecute. And that doesn't happen very often. And one of the things that a former OSHA deputy secretary told me, David Michaels, who's now a professor at George Washington University, was that he thinks that that's one of the places where OSHA really could step up and do more.
So let's hear from David Michaels.
OSHA should very much consider referrals, a referral of that event to a local district attorney who could take on a criminal case, because the OSHA criminal penalties are pretty much non-existent.
And what he pointed out was that just doesn't happen very often.
Well, but we're talking about a fatality. Someone lost their life due to negligence, perhaps. And what kind of, you know, charges or penalty would, you know, how much time would someone get for something like that?
Well, it depends. There are some cases where, in the story that reported that NPR looked at, was a case of the Northeast where this guy, Otto, this owner of a company, he was cited multiple times for failing to have proper protective systems. And he was eventually, he had workers die, and he was prosecuted for manslaughter, and he was put in prison. But that's really, you know, and for quite some decades. But that's an outlier. That doesn't happen very often.
But if that was became more aware, if it was, this was like talked about, you know, if you don't do this, you will be prosecuted. If district attorneys showed some teeth, then that would definitely motivate these contractors to you know, spend a few thousand dollars to get these trench boxes, right?
I think that's certainly true, and that's what experts have told us. I mean, David Michaels is the same guy, former OSHA deputy secretary, who said that, you know, these fines, they can be a couple thousand dollars. They can even be, you know, more than $100,000 if there are a bunch of violations. But if you're a big company, that's not going to deter you. But a prison sentence might.
But there are OSHA cases where a trench collapse happened, people died, they fined a company, and the fine was ignored, right?
Yes, there were cases where companies did not pay up. You know, OSHA, you know, they say that they do all they can to get these fines to recover that money. But there are some cases where, you know, over $1 million goes unpaid. And, you know, that's a current open case that NPR looked at, where there's a $1.8 million fine that has not been paid yet by that company that was cited.
What about wrongful death lawsuits that could be brought by family members?
So those are very common. And, you know, I spoke with a forensic expert who does testimony for these, some of these lawsuits, and knows them well. And they happen all the time. And what happens in most of these cases is that the company is going to decide to settle out of court with the family. They usually pay for the funeral services for these workers who were killed. And then families also have access to things like workers' compensation. But those, we don't really have ideas of, you know, the figures of how much money that we're talking about here.
Right. The loss of a loved one, the loss of a breadwinner in the family, the stability of that family, and now they have to go through the trauma and the horror, and that process is another traumatizing event. We're going to take a break. Our phone lines are open. Have you had to deal with working in a trench that was in danger of collapse? Were there precautions taken? Are you a contractor? Are you aware of these laws? Do you take every precaution necessary in order to protect your workers? We want to hear from you. 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. The source continues right after this.
Support for TPR comes from Jingu House in the Japanese Tea Garden, featuring Asian cuisine with a San Antonio twist. Open for lunch 7 days a week. View the menu at jinguhousesatx.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin. Davies with me in the studio. Josh Peck is here. He's a Texas Public Radio investigative reporter, and he joined a team with NPR and 1A looking into deadly trench collapses. Workers working in these and digging these deep trenches, frequently they're not secured with the trench box, which is something that is not overly complicated or expensive, but sometimes contractors will avoid using them just to save a penny here and there. And then there's a terrible accident, and these workers die a really horrible death. And what happens afterwards? What about enforcement before the accident happens? What can be done to make life safer for these people who work really hard? Give us a call if you have experienced this, if this has touched your life and your family. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So, Josh, is there a problem with repeat offenders, companies that seem to have done this frequently?
There is. You know, NPR, we looked at several cases where an employer had been fined multiple times for lacking proper safety equipment, safety systems in their trenches. And, you know, these fines, you know, when you're a repeat offender, these fines can stack. But I think the problem that it shows is that, you know, there shouldn't be able to be a repeat offender. You know, the fine or whatever penalty they bring on you, OSHA brings on a company, should be enough to deter the action in the future. And that's what you had in some cases where a repeat offender ended up, you know, a worker died for in repeat offender cases. And that's kind of what shows the credence of people like Abu Friday, the mother of Nathan Friday, who said that OSHA is just not doing enough to stop these companies from endangering their workers.
Can OSHA, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, can they pull someone's license if they're a contractor?
They can definitely make life very hard for these companies. They themselves can't shut down companies, repeat offenders, but they can get courts to do so. And so that is a route that is possible, but it's one that OSHA doesn't take very often.
So a company that's going to be digging like a ditch for a drainage ditch or a water pipeline or something, I wonder, are they connected with the water utility? I mean, I would think that a water utility would want everything done completely Jake.
And, you know, yeah, these are our subcontractors. So whether it's working for the city or for, you know, private developers, you know, their records are available. And so, I mean, one way to prevent these kinds of things is for municipalities and private developers to really, you know, you can just go find these violations online. You know, that's how we investigated them on OSHA's website. And so, you know, if they were, you know, not picking contractors with these problems, then, you know, we might be able to weed out some of these bad actors.
So, but you were able to find the paperwork online. There's a paper trail because there was a fatality, right?
Yes.
And frequently people are seriously injured, but they do survive. Mm-hmm. And then there are people who, when just doing the little bit of research I did on this topic online, I found a lot of people who were seriously injured and needed to be rescued when they accidentally fell in a deep trench. And it could be just a pedestrian who was walking along the road at night and it wasn't properly secured, but they survived, they were rescued and they survived, or it could be other workers who weren't paying attention, they fell in. There's a lot going on these deep trenches, it seems like. Safety is not the top priority.
Yeah, certainly, and I spoke with one man who, he works at Workers Defense Project, which they try to protect immigrant workers. They're based up in Austin. And what he said is that oftentimes in these trenches, you'll have just like trash littering the bottom of them. Because if they're on the sides of highways, for example, or major streets, you'll have just trash fall in there. And, you know, these areas often are not as secured as maybe they should be.
So I have an email from a listener, Lauren. She writes, "I think it's important to point out that municipalities are not covered under OSHA, which is irresponsible given the number of injuries that occur at public utilities." Can you talk about that?
Yeah, that was my colleague at 1A really focused on this question of public employees, and they're not covered by federal OSHA. But the federal law does allow for states to have their own OSHA. So, you know, California has their own OSHA, but a lot of places don't. And so in those places...
Texas? Do we have one in Texas? I've never heard of it.
We do, actually.
Okay.
You know, there are places like Arkansas, though, which doesn't. And so in these cases, if you're a public employee, like you're directly working for a city, for example,
okay,
and you die in a trench, you're in a real, you know, black box of what protections are afforded to you.
So how much could be done with public awareness? I mean, clearly, if workers were made aware that these trench boxes are required and they can call out, I mean, I don't want to blame the victim, but empower them so that they could speak out and demand that they would be protected.
Yeah, I think, I spoke with Camilo Vasquez at Workers Defense Project, who he used to train workers in OSHA, like OSHA safety in Spanish. He did this. And he said that, you know, oftentimes you have people come into these classes who had been working construction for years, and they learn for the first time in his class that they have these rights. And so I think it really is a problem where, you know, workers don't know that they are, you know, have the right to be protected in these ways. And what he told me was that these workers leave his classes and they feel like they can actually speak up for themselves. And I think there is something to be done on the worker education front, because if you're a worker and you think speaking out can get you fired or lose a job that you need to support your family, you know, maybe you'll just hope that this time things go right.
Well, there is a question about people who have questionable citizenship, you know, here, maybe working here, and they're undocumented. Are they vulnerable to being in a trench collapse?
They definitely are. And, you know, in my reporting, I wasn't able to identify, you know, any of the Texas victims. I couldn't get in touch with ones who were undocumented, but I heard it very often, very frequently from people who testified in these lawsuits and people who trained these workers that, you know, a lot of them are undocumented. It makes them even more afraid. And not even just if they're the ones at risk, but if they're witnesses, they'll disappear into the wind because they don't want to be part of anything that involves the federal government, you know, understandably in their minds. And so it means that not only are they at risk, but they can't speak up for their colleagues who are at risk.
So in your reporting, when you reached out to family members of people who died in a trench collapse, what was their reaction like to you? Did they feel like finally seen and heard, that, you know, they had been dealing with the grief of this horrible tragedy in their life for so long, but nothing has changed, and maybe now something can be done?
I think it did seem cathartic for some of these families, especially ones who felt that OSHA had really ignored them, had not followed up with them. Some of them didn't know that they could find their family members like the violation report of the company online. They couldn't see the description of what had happened. You know, OSHA came in, they were aware of it, and then they never heard from them again. And so for some of them, you know, had hours-long conversations with these families about what had happened, but also about this loved one who they felt had been dismissed or ignored. And certainly the companies that they worked for didn't care enough to protect them. And you definitely had that, you know, that finally being able to talk about this with someone and for it to maybe matter.
So in the reporting, does it look like there could be some toughening of these rules, regulations, enforcement?
Well, the reporting, you know, really focused on these deaths. But what we do know about congressional action, because it's Congress that would have to, you know, increase fines or, you know, strengthen the kind of criminal penalties that OSHA could impose. There was an effort a few years ago to increase the fines that was stopped in Congress. And, you know, there frankly hasn't been much since then to, you know, to either give OSHA more investigators or to strengthen OSHA. And one of the reasons we looked at this and wanted to look at the federal government is because the bipartisan infrastructure law, which was passed a few years ago in this current administration, is putting billions of new federal dollars into infrastructure projects around the country. This is going to mean thousands more workers in trenches than we would have had otherwise.
Well, couldn't they put in the request for these bids that they have to follow these rules? And
well, I think the problem is that, you know, these are already the law. And so, you know, these companies are breaking the law is what they're doing. And so, you know, it's one thing to have the rule. It's another thing for these companies to want to feel that they need to follow it.
So this idea that you can get a trench box, it's not hard, it's not complicated, it's not extremely expensive. But trying to force the folks, the people actually, to actually implement that, I mean, where's the low-hanging fruit to make that happen more frequently?
Well, I think it's hard to say. You know, if these companies had more fear, then they would probably do it. Even in cases where workers speak up, companies don't. In two of these cases that I looked at, of Jack Martin and Nathan Friday, they spoke up and they were ignored. And so it's hard to say, you know, what's really going to get these companies to take the right action to protect their workers. You know, I think there was one case where there were trench boxes on site. They just didn't put them in the trench. And, you know, this worker died when it wasn't even a question of money anymore. It was just time.
God, that's painful just to hear that. Totally unnecessary, these fatalities. And how did you get involved in this research, in this story?
Well, NPR reached out to me because, you know, they really wanted to, they were focused a lot on the data and on some of these specific companies they're looking at, these repeat offenders. But what they really needed was the victims' families and what their thoughts were about this and how they viewed the process with OSHA and, you know, what they knew about their family members and the role they played. And so, you know, my role was really reaching out to victims' families across Texas. I went to Houston. I went up to Jarrell, north of Austin, to speak with these families to get their side of the story. Because so often these things are isolated to, you know, the big federal government and then these companies. But little attention is given to, you know, how these deaths impacted people in the real world.
And did the families say we're frustrated that this continues to happen?
Certainly. And they, you know, they really said that they felt that their loved one should have been protected at any cost to these companies. And it's, you know, that they were sad that that didn't happen.
And it continues to happen. All workers at risk. Josh Peck, thank you so much for your reporting and coming on The Source today. I appreciate that.
Thanks for having me.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.